All right, Kibbutz, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Zayin. We are picking up from Mem Zayin, top of the daf. Haya Echme Masachi Pekuvya. So if you remember, again, the Mishnah was talking about a situation. We're talking about, obviously, as one could imagine, Shavuos. And so the Mishnah is talking about the idea that if one of the individuals, one of the parties involved, ultimately, again, was a Masachi Pekuvya, was a gambler, so the halacha is that such a person cannot take a shvua, and therefore, again, remember, the shvua would essentially boomerang back to the other party. That was the topic of the Mishnah, well, one of the topics of the Mishnah over here, that when you have the party who is supposed to take the shvua unable to take the shvua boomerangs back to the other party. So if one of the parties was a Masachik Pekuvya, let's say the person who was supposed to take the Shavua was a Mesachek Bekuvya, so that he cannot take a Shavua. Ultimately, again, Shavua goes back to the other individual. So the Gemara says, Hasulamali, I don't understand, why do I need this Mishnah? Because as Rabbi said, the Mishnah already taught me. The Mishnah already said the following. The Mishnah already said, Chashud ala Shekinegdo Chashud ala Shavua. The Mishnah already said that if the person who is supposed to take the Shavua is chashut, is suspect for taking a false Shavua, so ultimately, again, he has to go, the Shavua boomerangs back to the other individual. Why do I need this additional case of Masachik Bekuvya? Hasum lamli, tana psula daraisa, dekatana psula dirabanam. To which the Gemara answers, because the first part of the Mishnah was talking about people who are pasul midaraisa, that would be the person who takes a false Shavua. And now it's talking about people who are pasul midirabanam. And I will say the Masachik Bekuvya is someone who is pasul midirabanam to take a Shavua. What's the nature of his psul? Take a look at Rashi Masachik Bekuvya. Gazlon midirabanam. I will say a gambler is someone who is a gazlon midirabanam. He is a rabbinic thief. Not a thief who's a rabbi. A rabbinic thief. Someone who is a thief midirabanam. So the Gemara says, why? What's the pshat? So the Gemara says, da aminon asmachta lo kanyo. Remember, again, we discussed this concept many times before, because yod asmachta lo kanyo, which literally means hyperbole is not, or hyperbolic promises are not binding. So what does that mean? That means when people gamble, and they put their money into the pot to gamble, no one has in mind to what? No one has a mind to lose, right? Everybody plays ultimately to win, which means that halacha l'maisa, if I lose and someone else takes my money, there is a little bit of theft involved in the winner's earnings. He's taking money from me begrudgingly. Again, it's certainly not gezel midaraisa, he's not stealing my wallet, but at the end of the day, I say I'm in, I say of course I'm just playing for fun, I say it doesn't matter to me if I win or lose, but at the end of the day, it matters to me greatly if I lose. And therefore, again, halacha, he is considered to be a rabbinic thief. And therefore the Mishnah teaches me, Rashi finishes up by saying, Ava midoraisa lav gazlanu. Midoraisa, ultimately, again, he is not a thief. So therefore, again, the Mishnah is coming to teach me that even those who are pasul midirabanan ultimately can't go ahead and take a shavua. Says Rabban, says the Gemara, hayushnein chashudin. So we'll say, here was the next part of the Mishnah, which was quite intriguing. So the Mishnah then said, what happens if both were chashud? Let's say both parties involved were both suspect. We're both individuals who really are not halachically fit to take a shavua. What do we do in that kind of situation? So the Mishnah says, so two opinions of the Mishnah. Chazra shu'olim komol devi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, the shvua goes back to its original place. Now we don't know what that statement means. We'll define it in just a moment. And Rabbi Meir Omri Yachloku. Rabbi Meir essentially says, they split it. Says the Gemara, I'm going to analyze this now, I'll say. So Amrli Rav Rav Nachman. Hechi Tanan. So we'll say, Rav asked Rav Nachman, what's your version of the Mishnah? What is the proper version, the proper way to read this Mishnah? Look at Rashi. Hechi Tanan, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yachloku, or Rabbi Meir Omer Yachloku. Rabbi say, who is the opinion ultimately who says Yachloku? Is it Rabbi Yossi, or is it Rabbi Meir? Amalei, lo yedan. Rav Nachman says, I don't know. Hilchos Samai. Rav asked Rav Nachman, what's the halacha? Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin Rav Osei in a case where both parties involved were chashud ala shavua? Both parties involved are suspect and therefore not really fit to take a shavua. How do we paskin halacha l'maisa? Amar lei, lo yedana. He said, listen, to be honest, I don't know. Itmar, so we'll say, let's analyze this. Amar Rav Yosei bar Minyumi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yosei omer yachloku. So we'll say again, in this version over here, Rabbi Yossi is saying Yachloku. Rabbi Yossi says that in the case of Chashud ala Shavua, they will go ahead and they will split the object in question. V'chintani Rabbi Zvid bar Oshi, Am Rabbi Yossi, Amr Yachloku. Ikeda Amri, Tani Rabbi Zvid, Am Rabbi Oshi, Rabbi Yossi, Amr Yachloku, Am Rabbi Yossi, Par Minyumi, Avad Rav Nachman, Uvda, Yachlokus. Rabbo say it appears that the Gemara says, although again we'll define this in just a little bit, that the halacha is Yachloku. That at the end of the day, when you have a case where it's chashad al hashvua, when you, and again we'll see if this is halacha lemaisa or not, but when you have a case that is chashad al hashvua where one of the parties is suspect, both of the parties are suspect, therefore again what we do is we simply split the item in question. Rabbo say, all we've established over here is that halacha lemaisa again, this is the shita of Rabbi Yossi, and Rav Nachman paskined like this. Whether or not this is indeed halacha lemaisa remains to be seen. So the Gemara goes weiter. Chazru Shul and Komos. Let's remember again. So now we had two different opinions. One opinion said, when you have a specific case, this is the case of Shnehen Chashudin ala Shvua. So let's remember again, in this case, both parties are chashud, are suspect to lie under oath. So now we've established that Rabbi Yossi holds Yachloku, and the other opinion, Rabbi Meir, holds Chazra Shvua Limkoma. The Shvua goes back to its place. Now we're going to discuss, what does that statement mean, the Shvua goes back to its place? Leheichan Chazra. Where exactly does the Shvua go back to? Let's get ready for this. Amr Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Sinu Sheva Bavel Amru Chazra Shvua Lesinai. So let's listen to this. The rabbis in Bavel said, the Shvua goes back to Har Sinai. Now, what does that mean? Take a look. Three lines down from the top in Rashi, the Sinai. The Shvua shall Har Sinai. This Shvua goes back to the original Shvua in Har Sinai. What was the Shvua in Har Sinai? Sheishpia Kodesh Baruch Hu as Yisrael, alo sigzol, vo yifra min akofrem mamon lechabero. It goes back to the original Shvua. What was the original Shvua? By the Aser HaSadir, but we accepted the Torah, ba'ala u'beshvua, with a curse and with an oath. Excuse me. So the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, Chazra Shul Sinai means that we revert back to the original Shavua of Klal Yisrael. We go back to the original Shavua of Matan Torah. About Bezdin, Ein Niskakin Lo the Shavua, V'lo the Piron. But I was saying, in this case over here, where both parties are Chashad Al HaShavua, so ultimately, again, Bezdin can't do anything. In other words, Bezdin can't administer an oath. Why? Because at the end of the day, both parties are suspect to lie under oath. Because Bezdin can't administer an oath, Bezdin also can't collect the money from either of the parties. Meaning, without a shvua, there's no real mechanism for collection. So essentially, chazra shvua limkoma, the rabbis in Bavel said, means we go back to Har Sinai, the Ribono Shel Olam will figure this out. We as a Beis Din don't really have a mechanism of collection, since we can't administer a Shavua, and since at the end of the day we also can't go ahead and collect money, it goes back to our senior rabbi. The rabbis in Eretz Yisrael said, Chazra Shavua L'mechuyev Ba. The rabbis in Eretz Yisrael said, no, what it means is, the Shavua goes back to the one who was originally chayiv. So we'll say, for example, if you have the following situation, Reuven and Shimon, right? Reuven and Shimon, they're locked in a legal dispute. And let's say again, on a technical level, Reuven was the one who was supposed to take an oath to satisfy the claim. Reuven is chashad al hashavua. Okay, no problem. What happens if Reuven is chashad al hashavua? What do you do? Put the shavua on Shimon. What's the problem? The problem is Shimon is also chashad al hashavua. So what does the Mishnah say? Chazra shavua limkoma. So the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael said what that means is the Shavua goes back to the original party who was charged with taking the Shavua, which in this case is who? Is Reuven. But what's the problem? Reuven is Chashid. So what did the Rabbah say? Shavua goes back to its original place, but Reuven can't take it. Rashi says, L'mechuyev ba, azeh shodu b'miktas, v'cheivan sheni yoch alishava, shari chashid hu yishalim. So we'll say at the end of the day, the Shavua goes back to Reuven, and now since Reuven doesn't have the ability to take a Shavua, in order to clear the claim, he is forced to pay. So we'll say, for example, just to illustrate this on a simple case, Shimon says, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven is modim. Reuven says, I only owe you 500. I will say that is the paradigmatic case of modim mixas, partial admission. What's halach when you admit part of the claim? Shavua. Reuven has to take a shavua. Reuven is chashad al hashavua. He's a gambler. He just went on the brotherhood trip to Atlantic City the week before, right? So what happens? He can't take a shavua. So we'll say, so what happens? What happens? So therefore the shavua goes to who? It goes to Shimon. The problem is, Shimon went with the sisterhood the week before, which is two Isurim. Mamish, you know, it's not Pashit. So what happens? So I'm supposed to say, so now Shimon can't swear either. So the Mishnah says, Chazra Shavua Limkoma. The Shavua goes back to its original place. The rabbis of Eretz Yisrael say what that means is it goes back to Reuven. The problem is, okay, we're no better off than when we started with. Reuven can't swear.
So with the inability to swear essentially leaves Reuven with only one option, which is pay. So Reuven will have to pay the remaining contested $500 because he has the only mechanism to free one from paying in a mode of a mixed situation is a shivua. Because Reuven went ahead and can swear, by definition, the only way to close out the case is for him to pay. You'll say, it's not fair. It's fair, but I'll say why. Because remember, Reuven did this to himself. In other words, this is not a punitive measure placed on, this is the fact, Reuven, your actions have consequences, your choices have consequences, you made a decision to engage whatever behavior, now you are stuck with it. So you will say, this is an incredible muster in and of itself. You see, sometimes we live in a world that says, you should be able to do whatever you want and not have to suffer any consequences. Should be able to do whatever makes me happy, and I shouldn't have to deal with any of the fallout. It's not the way it works in life. Your person is free to do whatever they want, but at the end of the day, you must live with the consequences of your actions. Reuven, you want to go and be a Mesachik B'Kuvia? That's your prerogative. You're a big boy. But at the end of the day, understand that decision comes with ramifications. Ramification over here is that you can't take a Shavua. And your inability to go ahead and clear the claim of Motiv and Mixas with the Shavua leaves us with only one option, which is that you have to pay the remainder. So here we come out with a fundamental machlokis between the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. It's very exciting to see this. The Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael and the Rabbanim of Bavel. And I will say it all comes down to one thing. How do you interpret the phrase of the Mishnah? When both parties are chashud, when both parties are not believed to take a shvua, the Mishnah says one simple phrase. Chazra shvua limkoma. The shvua goes back to its place. The Rabbanim of Bavel say what that means is the place means back to Har Sinai. Bezin essentially says, you know what? There's no recourse for us in this case. It goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, Lo Sigzol, don't steal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to be the arbiter of this dispute because we have a Beis Din have no mechanism at our disposal to go ahead and resolve this dispute. Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael say, no, we do have a mechanism. Both are Chashish. Shvo goes back to its original place, which is Reuven. Reuven, you can't pay. You can't swear. Okay, there is a mechanism. There is there is a tool at our disposal, which is pay. If you can't swear to clear the remaining $500, then by definition you pay. So says the Gemara, Amra Papa, Rabbosinu Sheva Bavel, Rav Shmuel, the rabbis of Bavel, who are they? Rav and Shmuel. Rabbosinu Sheva Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. This is amazing, by the way. So the Rabbanim of Bavel, Rav and Shmuel, okay. Who are the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael? We'll say Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba. We'll say, so first of all, Rabbi Abba obviously was the head of the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael, so his opinion became the opinion of the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. First of all, can you imagine that? Can you imagine having this chus that you're identified as Rabbosinu Sheba Eretz Yisrael? Right? You are identified. Who cares whatever else you accomplish in life? To be the mouthpiece of Torah for Eretz Yisrael. Incredible. So the Gemara now proves this. Rabbosinu Sheba Bavel Rabbi Shmuel. How do we know that the rabbis of Bavel refer to Rabbi Shmuel, this none, because we learned about say, V'chin ha-yisomim, lo yifru ela b'shvua. So we learned before that yisomim cannot collect except with the shvua. So the marts of havinan ba, miman. We'll say we discussed what's the case over here. What do you mean when you say yisomim can't collect only with the shvua? From who? Ilei ma milo v'avuan. So we'll say, if you want to say that it's from a borrower, let's say their father lent money, right? This is Yisomim, their father lent money, and now what? And now they want to go ahead and collect the money. So tell me that the orphans can only collect money from their father's borrower with the Shvuah, or from their father lent money to someone. The father died. Now the Yisomim want to collect the debt. I tell me that the Yisomim need to take a Shvuah in order to collect from the Lova. Avu and Shakel below Shvuah, the Inhu B'Shvuah, that doesn't make sense. The father himself would have had the ability to collect without a Shvuah. Why should the kids have to collect with a Shvuah? Ela Hakikamah, this is what it means to say. V'chein ha-Yisomim min ha-Yisomim. We'll say what it means is as follows. That if one group of orphans, one group of Yisomim, want to go ahead and collect from another group of Yisomim, lo yifru ela b'shvua. both say they could only collect with a shavua. Ravu Shmuel, so both say one group of Yisomim collect from another group of Yisomim can only collect with a shavua. Ravu Shmuel Dami Tarbayu, Lo Shanu Ela, Shemes Malve Bechayi Love. So Ravu Shmuel both say, when is that true? That's only if the lender died during the lifetime of the borrower. So both say, remember again, the Yisomim are the children. So remember, we have Yisomim collecting from Yisomim. So when do we say that the Yisomim of the lender can only collect from the Yisomim of the borrower with a shvua? That's only if the lender predeceased the borrower. Aval, meis lova bechaye malva. But Rabbi says, at the end of the day, the borrower died, predeceased the lender. So the borrower died while the lender was still alive. Then what Rabbi say? Kvar neschaye malva libnei lova shvua. Rabbi say, here's what's interesting. In that case, where the borrower died before the lender, that means that what? The loan is still collectible. But who is it collectible from? From Yisomim. Which means that the malva, the lender himself, already, in order to collect his debt from the Yisomim, would have to collect with what? Would have to collect with a shavua. Ve'ein adam morish shavua labanav. Rabbi say, this is a fascinating concept. Rav and Shmuel say, a man cannot go ahead and pass on a shavua to his kids. Rabbi say, so this is amazing. When a person dies, by definition, his children inherit not only the money that he owns at the time of his death, but what? No, not just debts. They owe his debts, but not what he owes, his collectible debts. In other words, they, for our purposes, they inherit his accounts receivable as well. In other words, we'll say they inherit whatever monies owed to him as well. Here's the chap that Rav and Shmuel are saying is, the only accounts receivable that they inherit is money that their father could have collected by himself. Any monies that his father, that the father, the now deceased father, the lender, would have had to collect only through the mechanism of a shvua, the Yisomim themselves cannot collect. We'll discuss why that is. Look at Rashi. Ve'in adam morish. Rashi says, Lebanav, mamot shu mechuyev alav shvua. A father does not inherit to or bequeath to his sons money that he, the father himself, could have only collected with a shvua. Alma,
the Gemara is bringing this up because it's actually a fascinating case. So in this case over here, when we say that the Yisomim can collect from Yisomim, but say with the Shavuot, that's only in a case where the Malva predeceased the Lova. But if the Lova predeceased the Malva, then the Malva himself, if he wanted to collect the money, would have had to use a Shavuot, which by definition means that when the Malva dies, he's Morish, he bequeaths to his children a debt that already is only collectible through a shavua. That type of debt is not transferable to the Yisomim. Why Rabbi say? Because ultimately, again, the Yisomim can't take that shavua. Because Rabbi say, ultimately, the shavua that the Malva would have had to take is, I swear this debt was never repaid. Could the Yisomim of the Malva take that shavua with absolute certainty? And the answer is no. All they could say is, as far as we know, the money was never repaid. Our father never told us the money was repaid. But they could not take that shua with absolute certainty. So we'll say, you see from over here, that's what? Then Rav and Shmuel hold that when you can't take an oath with absolute certainty, what happens? Chazra shvua limkoma, which we'll say is another way of saying that what? The shvua goes back to where? To Har Sinai, which means no one could swear the Ribbono Shel Olam must be the arbiter of this law. So therefore, I was like taking this all the way back. So back to our Mishnah, where both parties are chashud ala shvua. The Mishnah says chazra shulim koma, which Rabbi Sinu Sheva Bavel means it goes back to Har Sinai, meaning again, Beis Din essentially says we have no way to deal with this situation, and we see over that Rabbi Sinu Sheva Bavel, who say that it goes back to Sinai, is none other than Rav and Shmuel. Magnificently beautiful. Rabbi Sinu Sheva Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Sinu, who are the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael? It's Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Sinu, listen to this case. The Hugah, Rabbi Sinu, this is the famous Maisa of Nasked Rabbi Abba. Oh, we saw it before. We actually saw this case before. A couple of times before. But then Shara is called Rabbi Abba. With the rabbis in Israel, Rabbi Abba. Dahu Gavra. Rabbi said, listen, this is a great case. Dechotif Naska Mechavri. Rabbi said, watch this. There's a guy. I go over to Reuven. And what happens? I take Naska is a piece of silver. A piece of silver. I'm sorry. Are you calling me a name? What is that? So again, I grab a piece of so I take a piece of silver. I take a piece of silver from Reuven. Right, literally, I just a piece of silver. We'll say, what happens? Get ready for this. So what happens? I steal it from Reuven. And what happens? The Reuven, in this case, Reuven came before Rabbi Ami. So what happens? Yosef Rabbi Abba came. So Rabbi Abba was sitting there as well. I see chat sada, the machtiv chat famine. So Reuven brings one witness that I took the piece of silver from him. Amrale in. I say, yes, I took it. Chatfi. Vididi chatfi. I say, yes, indeed, I'm not disputing it. I took it. But it's mine. I took back, my silver was in your possession, however it was. I took back my silver. So Rabbi Ami, so we'll say, see, this is mamish, like, we'll see, here, this is such a simple case, but it's so halachically profound. So Reuven is coming along, bringing an Eid Echad, that silver took my silver. And I said, yes, I did, but it's mine. It's mine. I took that which was mine. So we'll say, so what happens, and Reuven produces an Eid Echad. So Rabbi Ami, heicha ladainu. Heicha ladainu dayoni. Lahaidina. What should we do? Neima le zil shlim. Rabbi Ami says, if we tell the taker, right? If we tell the taker, the Caesar, to go ahead and pay it back. So what's the problem? Leka trei sadi. You can't really do that because there aren't two witnesses. Niftirei. To say that I am exempt, the taker is exempt, you can't do that either. Why? Ikachad sahado. There's one witness that testified to the fact that I took it. Neima zil ishtaba. I'm going to say, here's the problem. So we have a simple etza, which is, Beizin should tell me to take a shavua. Swear that it's yours. Listen to this. Kevan d'amar michtav chatif, havi legazlan. So I say, here's the problem. The problem is, I am admitting that I took something out of Reuven's house. Now I'm claiming the narrative that I am weaving together is that what? I took it, but what? It's mine. But there's a possible alternate narrative, which is that I'm a thief. So I'll say, because of that, I can't take a shvua, because of the possibility that I'm a thief. So essentially, what happens over here? Amli Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, Hav mechayiv shvua. I'm sorry. So therefore, I'll say, Rabbi Ami says, essentially, there is nothing for Beis Din to do in this case. Right, because again, to tell me to pay, ultimately again, there aren't two witnesses. To exempt me, there's one witness. Tell me to take a shavua, I might be a thief, and therefore again, I may be chashra al shavua. Rabbi Ami therefore says, pretty much, there's nothing to do. Comes on Rabbi Abba and says, Rabbi Abba, have a mechayiv shmuchuyiv shavua, vin yochal l'shava. Rabbi Abba says, no, there is a resolution to this case. Rabbi will say, what is the case over here? I, the taker, am chayiv shavua. On a technical level, I'm chayiv shvua, but yet what? Ve'en lo yachal lishava. But I can't swear. Why can't I swear? I will say, why can't I swear? Because I may be a thief. So it's not a problem. We'll say, so we have a resolution. Any time that you are obligated to take a shvua, but you can't take a shvua, we'll say, what do we say? Right? Pay. We'll say, this is chazra shvua limkoma. According to Rabbi Abba, who is Rabbi Sinu Sheber Eretz Yisrael, if I have an obligation to swear, but I can't swear, because at the end of the day, there is a halachic complication, the halacha is okay, an ability to swear, no problem. If you can't swear to clear your name, then what do? You pay. And therefore, Rabbi say, this is Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi say, ultimately, again, from here you see that Rabbi Abba is in fact identified as the opinion of Rabbi Sinu Sheber Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi say, this is the yisodistik machlokes between the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael and the Rabbanim of Bavel. When both parties are chashra l'shvua, and therefore neither could pay, everyone agrees with the statement of the Mishnah, which is chazra shvua limkoma. The shvua goes back to its place. The fundamental machlokes of Osai is what? What that means. The Rabbanim of Bavel say goes back to Har Sinai. There's nothing we can do. Beis Din essentially recuses themselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have to be the arbiter of this law. Rabbi Sinu Sheberet, and Rabbi says that's Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Sinu Sheberet, so Rabbi Abba says that what Chazor Shulam Kama, the Shua goes back to the party who was originally obligated to take the Shavua, but can't, no problem, if you can't take a Shavua, then what? Then you pay. So Amar Rabba says, Kavasit.
It's status quo then for the, if it goes back to Har Sinai, so in the case of the Goslin.
You just can't take it. There's nothing to do.
Well, he has it in his possession, so he just keeps it.
Correct. Correct. There's nothing for us to do. No, there's no shua in that case. There's no shua. Chazur shua means go back to Sinai. What's going on back there? He has it. Who's the Hamotzi?
The guy who said he took it out of my house.
He took it back. It's rightfully his.
He's got it.
Okay.
So it's only
he's got it. Somebody says I want it. You took it from my house. It's mine.
No, because he has an Eirecha that says he took it from my house. Who's the Hamotzi Mechaviro?
The guy who wants it bad.
No,
he has an Eirecha. He has an Eirecha who says the guy took it.
Well, good for you.
What do you mean, good for you? What kind of answer is that?
That's it.
Come back to me when you got something better than that. Come on. No. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya. Listen. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya is when there's no edus. When there's edus, it's not hamotzi mechaver alav araya. What miko? What's the miko?
He's
not saying anything. It's the guy who we took it from who's saying something.
Why does that guy have to say, you took it from me, I want it back?
Coffee break.
Well, I don't understand. I'm taking it from Reuven. Right? I'm saying it's mine. Reuven has an Eirecha that I took it from his house. There's no motzi mechaver alav haraya, because at the end of the day, Reuven has an eid. I have possession of it. So you want to say Reuven should be motzi mechaver alav araya, right? Because I'm in possession of it. The only issue with that is that Reuven has an eid echad. That's the only problem with this. So therefore, again, under normal circumstances, what should have to happen is I should have to take a shvuah that indeed it's mine. The problem over here is because I might be a gazlon, I can't take the shvuah. So essentially what we have over here is a little bit just of a what's the right word? Stalemate. A stalemate. Because again, Reuven has the Eid Echad. I have the Muchzuk. I have the object. The counter to my Muchzuk is Reuven's Eid Echad. So really, the mechanism to clear this is Shvuah. The only problem is I can't take Shvuah. So therefore, again, ultimately, in this kind of case, Rabbi Abba comes along and says, anytime, so me, the burden rests on me. I am the one who is supposed to resolve this. Because I can't resolve it, by definition, I have no choice but to pay it back. So you're right. There is a motzi mechaver alav araya, except it's offset by the presence of the Eid Echad. Amar Rava, Kavasi Rabbi Abba Mestarva. So we'll say Rava says that Kavasi Rabbi Abba Mestarva, which we'll say means what? That halacha lemaisa. It seems to be clear like Rabbi Abba. So we'll say, this is the case, by the way, of Naske Rabbi Abba, which I will say is the case ultimately, this is known as the silver piece of Rabbi Abba. So we'll say this, so remember again, just so you understand why I'm bringing this up, we've now identified Rabbi Abba as the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Abba is Rabbi Senu Sheb Eretz Yisrael, who says that Chazra Shavua means that the Shavua goes back to the original party. So it says the Gemara, the Tani Rabbi Ami, Shavua Hashem Tia Ben Shnehem, below Ben Hayarshim. So what Rabbi Ami says, Shavua Hashem will be between them and not between the Yarshim. Hey, Dami. So we'll say, what does that mean? So says the Gemara, if you want to say it's a case where I say, there's your father owes my father $1,000. We'll say, this would be a conversation between Yisomin. And the, we'll call the borrower's children say, my father only owed you 500. So the Gemara says, Iva Amrle, Chamshin Isle, the Chamshin Lesle. My father owes you 500, didn't owe you 500. Malihu, Mali Avuar. We'll say, that's a case of Modi Bemitzas. And Lavdar was listening to this case. Damrle, Marnala Abba Biadavicha. Amalei chamshin yedana v'chamshin lo yedana. Or we'll say, what's the case? Listen to this interesting case. We're now about to say, this is a conversation between the Yisomim. So the conversation between the Yisomim over here is like this. The Yisomim of the lender say to the Yisomim of the borrower, my father lent your father $1,000. The Yisomim of the borrower say, 500 we know about. But I will say, interesting, what's their claim over here? What do they say about the second 500? We don't know. It's not a denial. See, Modi B'miktsas is triggered by a denial. This is not a denial. This is just saying, we don't know. All we know is about 500. Look, but actually, Chamshin lo yedana. We'll say on these. E amrit vishlama aviv ki ay gavna mechayiv itzrich kalamifti gabe yershin. So it makes sense. We'll say, top of them, Zayin Amadeiz. If you say that in this type of case, the father would have been chayiv to take a shavua, then I need a pasik to patra the kids. El e amrit aviv ki ay gavna nami patr, kra gabe yershin lamali. Rabbi said, if you would say that ultimately in this type of case, a father would also be pater, then why do I need a pasuk to exempt the yarshin? Take a look at the Tap Rashi. Aviv ki gavna mechayiv shvua. And since, again, in this kind of case, he can't swear, so therefore, we'll say in this kind of case, where let's say there's a kind of I don't know, we'll say I don't know, you can't swear about an I don't know claim. Right? We'll say, right? Because you can only swear about what kind of claim? Definitive claims. So therefore, again, therefore, I will say again, just like the father wouldn't swear in this kind of situation, so too the Yarshim don't swear in this kind of situation as well. But if you say, however, just reading this again, but if you would say ultimately that in this kind of case the father would also be pater, kra gabi Yarshim lamali. Ultimately, again, why would I need ultimately the pasuk by the Yershim to exempt them? Fine. So we'll say, let's finish this up. Rabbi Shmuel, Hashvuas Hashem, Maika Darshibe. We'll say, what do Rabbi Shmuel do with that pasuk of Shvuas Hashem? Mi boile lichidisanyo. You need it for the following case. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Shvuas Hashem Tia ben Shneim. We'll say, what is that phrase, Shvuas Hashem Tia ben Shneim? What does that teach us? Melameid. Shashvua chala al shneinu. Well, it's actually quite profound. We had this before. That teaches us that the shvua is chal on both of them. We'll say, what does it mean the shvua is chal on both of them? We'll say, so this means that where a false shvua is taken, there is liability upon both parties. So we'll say, this is actually quite an interesting idea. What does it mean that there's a shvua, there's a liability upon both parties? So we'll say, you could look at this in a couple of different ways. You could look at this and in a way of, how are you involving yourself in financial matters with someone who's not trustworthy? So we'll say, what Chazal seems to be teaching me over here is that before I get involved financially with people, it's not just enough to examine their business acumen, but I should examine their moral integrity as well. Because the last thing I want to be involved with is a situation of where, in order to resolve a dispute, I need to take a shavua. Because I will say there's the possibility that someone may be dishonest and may take a shavua, may take a false shavua. If that's the case, I've been involved in a situation where there's been a desecration of the Ribono Shel Olam's name. Even though I am not the one taking the shavua, and even though I'm not the one who's telling the guy to lie, but I am party to a transaction in which there is a desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we both say, if you think about it, by the way, is such an incredible insight into the Jewish code of business ethics or business integrity, that it's not just enough to be personally honest, but a person can't be part of something where there's an element of dishonesty. Even if I am not the one who's perpetrating anything, I'm not the one who's doing anything, but to even be involved with people who are dishonest, to be involved with people who lack that integrity, Shvuas Hashem Tia B'Shneim, just know, if there's a false Shvuah that goes down, and I am part of this process, I'm not the one lying, but I'm part of this process, there's a certain element, or there's a certain level of liability that is borne by me, which is an incredible idea.
This case would be solved by Star. If you had a document that would take care of all these cases, there would be no disagreement.
You could still dispute the shtar. There are ways you could dispute the shtar, but there's no question that when you have things in writing, generally, it helps a lot. Absolutely. Which is, by the way, same thing with Eidos, where there's Eidos. That's why, again, we saw, I think I mentioned this last week, the case of Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you are not allowed to lend money without witnesses. And if you lend money without witnesses, the case of Shulchan Aruch Paskins, it's a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. In other words, set up your business dealings in a way where this kind of stuff can't happen. Now, again, that being said, we all know that if somebody wants to cheat, or somebody wants to be dishonest, the truth is, I don't know, I'm not a businessman, but I would venture to say it's difficult to go ahead and guard against real dishonesty. Meaning if somebody is like a shtarik, dishonest guy, so it's hard to guard yourself against that. But in Achinami, use of a shtar, use of edim certainly minimizes these types of situations. Shimon Tarfon Omer, says, I will say now, once we quoted Shimon Ben Tarfon, so we're quoting other rulings of his as well. So we'll say, what else does Shimon Tarfon say? Azhara lo'okev achar noeth minayin. This is actually interesting. From where do we know? Obviously, we know that adultery is prohibited, but how do we know that to facilitate other people's averos is also prohibited? Now, okev achar ha'minayin, Rashi says over here, na'asalo apetropis lahargilo nashim leniyuf. How do I know that's what? How do I know that at the end of the day, I am not permitted to go ahead and arrange adulterous liaisons for someone else? In other words, I'm not the one committing the Avera. But how do I know that I'm not permitted to facilitate someone else's Averas as well? Tama lomar lo sina. Rabbi said, the Pasuk says, do not commit adultery. And interesting enough, that can be vocalized as lo sanif. Do not allow adultery to occur. So don't be the one who facilitates those adulterous liaisons between others. So again, we'll say, once you just quoted Shimon ben Tarfon, we're just quoting a number of his rulings. So we'll remember again, this is by the Meraglim. So the Pasuk says, so this is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking about the slander of Klal Yisrael and the Meraglim about Eretz Yisrael. Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Tartem uginisem ba'ohalo shamakom. Literally, you went ahead and you scouted or you spied out the ginisim and you disparaged Ba'ohalo Shalmakom and the tent of the Ribon Shalom. The tent of the Ribon Shalom is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. Sirach HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent you to scout out the land and you came back and you disparaged the very tent of the Ribon Shalom. Ad Hanar HaGadol Nahar Pras. Well, so it's actually very beautiful. So remember again, speaking about the rivers that flow from Gan Eden. So the Pasuk says, by Eretz Yisrael, Nahara Gadol Nahar Pras, the great river, the Euphrates. I will say that interestingly enough, the Euphrates is not the largest of the rivers mentioned. Yet the Euphrates is called a large river. What's the pshat? Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Krav Legabe Dehina V'Ithan. Touch someone who is anointed with oil, and you yourself will become anointed. Rav Zavos say, if somebody's been smeared with oil and I touch them, I get oil on me as well. So meaning, what's the metaphor? The metaphor ultimately is that sometimes when you connect yourself with great things, you become great as well. Look at Rashi just a moment. Krav legabi dihina beitan im nagata b'mashuach b'shemen. If you touch someone who's been anointed with oil, tegam mashuach b'negiyaso. You too will become smeared with the oil through touch. Kilomar prat hu katan mishal shnaras. So I say the Nahar Pras is the smallest of the rivers. Shu manoy etzram lebasof. Vanar haraviu pras the kanu kore osanar. So I say when mentioning the four rivers that flow from Gan Eden, so the Pras, right, the Nahar Prat is the smallest of the rivers. Yet here it's called a large river. Bishul shor niskar kan al shem Eretz Yisrael. She chashuba niskar gamu bechashir. So I say, so since the Nahar Pras, since the Euphrates, ultimately touches Eretz Yisrael, therefore what? It becomes great. Rabosai, beautiful Yisod. Anything that touches Eretz Yisrael becomes great. Anything that has a connection to Eretz Yisrael becomes great. Nahar Prat might be the smallest of the rivers, but because it touches Eretz Yisrael, therefore by definition, it becomes great. So it's an incredible, incredible Yisod. So the Beir Yishmal, they said, Eved Melech Kimelech. So I will say, just like the servant of the king is like the king. In other words, even the servant of the king has an elated status. So I will say, so the idea over here being is that there's many incredible lessons to be learned from this. Namely, number one, to attach yourself to great people. When you attach yourself to great people, ultimately, again, their greatness rubs off on you. To live in a great place, because when you live in a makom that is uplifted, ultimately, again, the kiddush of the makom rubs off on you. Now, we'll say this goes back to the vart we spoke about on Erev Shabbos, right? The Lablina Rav, that your surroundings influence you, your surroundings impact you. The Nahar Pras is just a regular Nahar, but it hits Eretz Yisrael, so by definition it comes great. We'll say if we surround ourselves with the right influences, we surround ourselves with the right people, we attach ourselves to the right things, greatness flows through those connections. So we'll say, Elokh Lemaisa, how do we paskin by this case of Shnein Chashudin Ala Avera? Shnein Chashudin Ala Shvo. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, Mishin is Chayiv Shvo. So we'll say, listen to this. So Mishin is Chayiv Shvo Doraisa. So we'll say, if somebody is chayiv a shvua, and the Shulchan Aruch's case is what happens, hu chashira la shvua. So we'll say, so case one the Shulchan Aruch deals with is the following. We're a simple case. Let's take in motive amiktsas. Shimon lent Reuven $1,000. Reuven says, I only owe you 500. We'll say, we call that motive amiktsas. What's the halacha? Reuven should swear remaining the remaining $500. What happens, Rabbi Osai? Reuven now goes ahead. Now Reuven is a mesachik bekuvia or whatever else, whatever other psul, so he can't take the shvuah. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So the halacha is so who chashar al shvuah sheknegdo? Sheknegdo nishpa v'notel. So we'll say ultimately in that case not a problem. What do we do with the shvuah? Bless you. Shimon takes the shvuah. Okay, so even though Reuven should normally take the shvuah, if Reuven is chashar, it goes back to the shvuah. V'im shneim chashudin. We'll say what happens if halacha lemaisa. Both Reuven and Shimon are both chashid, right? So they're both mesachik b'kuvya. Well, I'm just using that as an example. It doesn't know what the psul is. Whatever the psul is, Rabbi says, so what's the halacha? Chazra shvua l'nitva, umitoch sheniyocha l'shava mishalem. We'll say the halacha, as codified by the Shulchan Aruch, by Rabbi Yosef Kala, by the Mechaber, is that we paskin ultimately again, like Rabbosinu Sheva Eretz Yisrael, right? Like the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, which means what, Rabbosai? Chazra Shvua Limkoma, which means what? The Shvua goes back to Reuven. What's the problem? Reuven can't swear. Because Reuven can't swear, Rabbosai, what do we do? He pays. So we'll say that is how the Shulchan Aruch paskins halacha lemaisa. That we paskin that in the case where both are chashudin al shvua, chazra shvua limkoma, which in the view of the mechaber means like Rabbi Sinu Sheber Yisrael, Rabbi Abba, the shvua goes back to Reuven. Reuven can't swear. If you can't swear, then what? You pay. So we'll say, I'll tell you something amazing. The Yeshomrim comes along the Ramah. This is amazing. The Ramah argues on the mechaber. Well, I shouldn't say that. The Ramah says, Yeshomrim, the achloku. Others say that they should split it. They should split it. Yachloku. V'cheinira li ladun damotzi mechavero alav haraya. Right? So we'll say, watch this. Why? Because at the end of the day, he says yachloku. So we'll say, why yachloku? See, a lot of stuff, good stuff comes even from the back of the room. Baruch Hashem. So we'll say, so what happens? So the Ramah says, now we'll say, that, but I want to point something out to you, which is quite dramatic. What's dramatic about Surah? The Ramah says, Yachloku. Yachloku. So we'll say, in this case over here, so let's just plug this into the simple case. So remember again, Shimon says, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, I only owe you 500. Well, Dibba makes us. So what should normally happen? Let's just go through it. What should normally happen? Reuven, Shua. What's the problem? Reuven's Mesachi Pekuvia. Fine, no problem. What should we do? Shimon Yusra. What's the problem? Shimon's Mesachi Pekuvia. No one could go ahead and swear. So we'll say, so again, the Mechaber says, okay, we pass like Rabbi Seir Hashem Eretz Yisrael, when no one could swear, the Shvuah goes back to Reuven. Reuven, you can't swear, you have to pay the remaining $500. Ramos says, not so fast. Others say, Yachloku. Yachloku. Now we'll say, now Yachloku, you should just know, Yachloku is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says Yachloku. Now both say, now what's interesting to see is as follows. Now, why Yachloku? Because here, really, Shimon, you want to extract the other 500 from Reuven. So you're Motzi Mechaviro Alav Haraya. And therefore, again, because you're Motzi Mechaviro Alav Haraya, therefore, again, we'll say Yachloku. Now both say, now this is interesting because if it's your Motzi Mechaviro Alav Haraya, then what? If it's your Motzi Mechaviro Alav Haraya, then what? Then the truth is, there shouldn't even be a splitting, right? We'll say, Motzi Mechaviro Alav Haraya means if you want to extract money from me, the burden of proof. So we'll say, this is an interesting hybrid shita. What we're saying over here is, we're going to take the remaining 500, which is the 500 in dispute. And we're saying, Shimon, really, in order to see, Reuven can't swear. So therefore, again, when Reuven can't swear, if you want to extract the remaining 500, you should. So we'll say, the tension over here is, the Mechaber says, there's no Motzi Mechaviro Alav Haraya over here. Because again, there's a system. This is a case of mod deba mitzvahs. The way to resolve mod deba mitzvahs is how? Is that, again, the person who denies the partial part of the claim has to swear. He can't swear, he pays. The Ramos says, well, once he can't swear, therefore, again, the shvuah is off the table. This becomes a motzi mechaver alav haraya. But it's not a real case of a motzi mechaver alav haraya. Why? Because it's a case of mod deba mitzvahs. So how do we resolve it? So Rama says, Yachloku. They split the remaining 500. So Reuven will end up not having to pay the full 500, but rather they'll have to go ahead and pay 250. V'chein nira li ladun, tamotzi mechaveira alav harayo. V'yesh omrim debechashe kinecto nishpa v'not al dafka shoyo dekshas. So we'll say, fine. So he goes on and qualifies it. So we'll say, so just pointing out to you, this is a fundamental machlokis between the mechaber and the Ramah. Svardim against the Ashkenazim, right? The age. Watch yourself, Hagen. Right, so the idea over here is this also. So this really is a fascinating machlokas. I just want to point out what's novel about this Rabosai is that really you have the Ramah. See, I just want to point out if you notice, the Gemara doesn't really even spend time speaking about the Shita of Rabbi Meir of Yachloku, because the Gemara doesn't seem to really take it as an authoritative position. Yet, again, obviously, I'll say I'm skipping many, many, many steps in between the Gemara. I'm taking you right to the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah himself, quotes Rav Haigon, the Rush, the Mordechai, the Rabbi Nutam. So obviously, there are many different steps, but again, a fundamental machlokas. If you are a Sephardic Jew in this type of situation, you are paskin like Maran, you are paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Mechaber, who ultimately holds that we hold like Rabbi Sinu Shev Eretz Yisrael, that when both of them are chashed ala shvua, chazru shvua lemkama, the shvua goes back to Reuven, the original party, you can't pay, you have to pay the remaining $500. We, Ashkenazim, are paskin like the Mechaber, the Ramah, the Ramah says essentially a hybrid of Yachloku and Amotzi Mechaber al Avaraya, that because neither party could swear, the burden of proof is upon Shimon to extract the additional $500, but because really it's upon Reuven also, so we resolve that Rabosai, we resolve this Reuven's obligation to go ahead and take a Shavua versus Shimon's obligation, Amotzi Mechaber al Avaraya, Yachloku, split the difference. Rabosai, bottom line, Allah Kalamaisa, Machlok Sin Mechaber and Ramah. Ridiculously exciting. Ridiculously exciting. Not just a little bit exciting, it's incredibly exciting. No. Correct. That's going on the case of the Mishnah. Both sides. The case of the silver piece of Naska de Rabbi Abba is not being dealt with over here by, how do we paskin that way in the Naska de Rabbi Abba? I have to look up the Aloha Lamais in that case. I don't remember offhand. But correct. That is not passing on this case. This is about the case of Modiv Mixos. You think it can't get any more exciting. You think that we mamish hit the apex or the zenith of Shavuos excitement. Natural. So I just want to tell you something. This is going to get so exciting that you're going to be sad that Shavuos is over. Right? That's how good this is about to get. And everybody's been secretly counting the pages ahead. Right? Or not so secretly counting the pages ahead. Let's listen to this case. Now, because I want to tell you something. These are real, up until now, it's been a lot of Shavuos, of course. These are real Choshen Mishpat cases. Maybe these are real Dinei Mamanis cases. So let's go back to Chen Vina Pinkaso. So remember this next case, or at least we'll start this today. What's Chen Vina Pinkaso? Is the case. Remember, I'm the employer. I own a business. And again, so what happens? Reuven owns the makolet. So I tell Reuven, do me a favor. Instead of me paying a wage to my workers, I'm going to extend to them credit at the makolet. Let them come and take whatever they want, and I'll settle up with you. So let's say I have three employees. Each of them are owed $1,000. They're going to buy $1,000 of groceries. Fantastic. What happens? The workers show up and they say, we didn't get paid. Reuven claims he dispensed the items. So both say, what does the Mishnah say? So the Mishnah records a machlokas. So the Mishnah says the following. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Yeshava Balabai Shenasan Lo Asat. No, wrong one. I'm sorry. Right, the halacha is who nishba v'notel v'hein nishba v'notel. We'll say the first opinion of the Mishnah says the shopkeeper takes a shvua and gets paid from me, and the workers take a shvua and get paid from me. In other words, everybody swears that they did not get paid. The workers say they didn't get paid; they get their wage. Ultimately, the chemveni swears that he dispensed the product and he did not get paid, and they both get paid. Ben Nanis comes along and says, Ketzad Eilu Ve'ilu Ban Yeshua Shav. Ben Nanis says, it doesn't make sense. Why? Somebody's lying. How can you set up a situation ultimately again where somebody's going to take a Shavua Shav? Rather, Elohu Notel Shalom B'Shavua, they Notel Shalom B'Shavua. So both say, Ben Nanis says, both could collect, but what? Both collect without a Shavua. Shabbos, it's a fundamental machlokis over here. So bottom line is, what everybody agrees with is what? Both the workers and the shopkeeper, I'm going to have to pay. The machlokis is, do they have to take a shavua or not? First opinion says, both have to take a shavua, both being the storekeeper and the employees. Second opinion, banana says, both collect, but without a shavua. So says the Gemara, Tanya, Amar Rabbi, Torach shavua zu lamali. Rabbi says, why do I need this shavua? So I'll say, so what does it mean? Take a look at Rashi. It's almost right. It says Gemara. It says Gemara over here. Rashi talks Shavuos Zulama. Sheshnein ba'in lebeizdin. Shetetei Shavuos shav mi b'neihem. V'lo perish Rebbe ma'esfirele. Inot v'lo Shavuos ke'ben nanis. O yafsid chen v'ni b'shuas ha'polim. So we'll say, so Rebbe says a very cryptic statement. Rebbe says essentially, how can you structure this type of Shavuos where you know that what? Somebody is lying. Somebody's lying over here. But in other words, they both can't be right. It can't be that the shopkeeper dispensed $1,000 worth of produce and the employees didn't get paid. In other words, somebody's lying. So Rebbe says essentially, Torah Shu Zulamali means, how can you structure such a shvuah like this, which is clearly wrong? The Bosa and Rashi points out is Rebbe, like, and therefore what, Rebbe? And therefore what? Are you paskining like bananas? Or are you perhaps advancing a different idea that maybe the shopkeeper just swears, exempts himself, and that's it? Or maybe the workers that just swear and exempt. We're not clear what Rebbe's saying. Only Rebbe Chibar Abba Tanina. Shneem nishbarim benotim in balabayas. So here's the problem. Rebbe Chia says, but one second. We learned in the Mishnah that what? The Mishnah Paskin Abba saying that both the Chenveni as well as the workers both swear and get paid from the Balabayas. Kibla minei, or lo kibla minei. So Rebbe, do you accept what the Mishnah says or you don't accept what the Mishnah says? In other words, we'll say, well, we're asking, Rashi says, kibla minei, Rebbe mi Rebbe Chia, v'hadir be'olo. So we'll say, here's the problem. Rebbe comes along and says, the Shavuah is ridiculous. Okay. Comes along Rebbe Abba, Rebbe Chia Abba says, okay, but the Mishnah says that both the shopkeeper as well as the employees swear and go ahead and collect their money. So now the question is, did Rebbe retract his statement or not? In other words, it appears that Rebbe, see, both say, if Rebbe wants to say, I paskin like bananas, fine. But he doesn't say that. Instead, he just says, the shavuah is ridiculous. So what does that mean? Are you arguing on the Mishnah? You're not arguing on the Mishnah? So Rabbi Chiya says, the Mishnah says, Rebbe, that you do take a shavuah. So the shaila now is, did Rebbe reverse his position or not? So Tashma, Disanya, Rebbe Omer, Paul in the Shabbat in the Chenveni, oh, Rabbi Chiya, get ready for this. Rebbe says that the workers swear to the Chenveni. The workers take an oath to the shopkeeper. Now, both say, this is different than the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Who do the workers swear to? Right? According to the Mishnah, it sounds like the workers are swearing to a man we call the balabas, their employer. Here the Mishnah seems to say that what? That the workers swear to the chenveni. Vim isa la balabaisi boile. But if indeed the Mishnah was correct, then ultimately we should say that the workers go out and swear to the balabas. Amarava, boss, listen to this. Amarava, polim nishbo'in balabayis b'ma'amad chenveni. Oh, I will say, watch this. Rava says, in fact, the workers swear to the balabayis in the presence of the chenveni, kihechi dilachasvu minei. In order that, what Rabbi say? That they should be embarrassed in front of the chenveni. So Rabbi say, watch this. It's not arguing. In fact, what this Bryce is doing is adding on an additional component. The workers have to swear, but not only to the balabas. Who else do they have to swear to? That they swear in the presence of the chenveni. So Rabbi say, in halacha, we make the assumption, unfortunately, people do swear falsely. But we assume a general principle of ein adameis panav bifnei balchovo. That a person is not going to swear falsely directly in the presence of the person who they had the interaction with. So the workers might swear falsely that they didn't get paid by the chenveni. If what? If not in the presence of the chenveni. But, so what do we make them do? We make them swear to the balabas in the presence of the chenveni himself. And Rabbi say, this indeed, because the assumption is, if they actually got the produce paid out from the owner of that makolet, they're going to be much more reticent to swear falsely in his presence, right in front of him, than they would just to the balabas, not in the presence of the chenveni. And Rabbi say, that is indeed, you should know, how we paskin halacha l'maisa. The Shulchan Aruch paskin, let me just bring this up. Shulchan Aruch paskins. Shulchan Aruch paskins the following. So I will say, so this is in Choshen Mishpat Tzadik Aleph Sif Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Chenveni ne'aman al pinkaso, Ketzad, balabai shomer lechenveni, tein lepoali sela, v'moda shomer lekein, osheish edim, skip down a little bit, and v'chenveni amra kvan asati lehem, v'apoali amra lo kibandu mimeno klum, shneihem nishbo'in kein Torah. So we'll say, we paskin like the first version of the Mishnah, namely, that when there is a dispute between the owner of the makolet and the workers, both swear. The chenveni pas, v'notli mi balabais,
So we'll say the Chen Vini Paskin, is that what? What is the Chen Vini Paskin? That he dispensed the product to the workers. The workers swear that what? They didn't get paid. But I'm going to say, what's the chap? However, utzichim sheyishbu kol echad bifnei chaveiro chenveni bifnei polim u polim bifnei chenveni kedeshi is baishu yoser. Ultimately, again, halacha lemaisa. So I'm going to say, just so you should know, I'm checking a little bit ahead in the halacha. Again, the halacha is we passing that both parties have to take a shvua. Both are essentially taking a shvua. I'm going to say to the balabais, because the balabais now is going to have to pay both of them. He's going to have to pay the chenveni and he's going to have to pay the workers. But halacha lemaisa, we make the chenveni Paskin in the presence of the workers. The workers swear, not Paskin. We Paskin that the Chenveni has to swear in the presence of the workers. The workers have to swear in the presence of the Chenveni, as the Shulchan Aruch says, Kedesh is Baishu Yoser, with the hope that ultimately, again, if they are lying, the additional embarrassment of lying to the face of the person you've actively cheated would ultimately dissuade them from lying. But if indeed they both go in and they take the oath, the Balabais will be chayef to go ahead and pay the Chenveni as well as pay the wages of the worker. Rebose will stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem at the Itmar tomorrow. Shkoyach.